Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, an epic morning zoo. An epic morning zoo that we could only do if Brian Whitman was in studio, because I don't know that there's anybody on the planet better than Brian Whitman at the morning zoo send-up format. Now, they're comedians, and they're folks who may possibly be funnier, but not at morning zoo. I mean, the best. So it's the best decision I ever made in my life, and you guys are going to love this morning zoo. We're going places you never thought of. First, LifeLock, 83% plan to shop online for their holiday gifts this year. Did you know that? But the FBI got nearly 300,000 online theft complaints in 2017, and that's got to double by 2019. Before you click the buy button, remember some websites are created by people who just want to steal your credit card data and take other personal information. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You could miss identity threats if you're just monitoring your credit. It's almost 2020. Let's get some LifeLock, people. Protect yourself. LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number on sale or for sale on the dark web. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
Support for the Adam Carolla Podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home, and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan, because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage.
This is the Toolbox, and I hope you've been naughty, because all month long, we're celebrating the 12 days of Kissmas. The reason for the season is on your knees and get to pleasing. 12 days of Kissmas, you know it's right now. We're going to rock and roll all silent night as you look up prizes like Arrogance, the new cologne from Gene Simmons. Arrogance, that's right, I know you like it. God may have given his only son, but that wasn't enough, was it? So God gave rock and roll to you, but he saved the talent for these guys. The band that likes to tell you when they're going to make sweet love to you. Kiss.
Tonight, I want to give it all to you. In the darkness, there's so much I want to do. And tonight, I want to lay it at your feet. 'Cause girl, I was made for you. And girl, you were made for me.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, host of The Morning Answer, Brian Whitman. With Gina Gratt on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. And Dave Damashek is here for good sports. And now, Lynch couldn't write an intro joke today because it was raining. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice for the mandate. get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks to Stamps.com and LifeLock and Rocket Mortgage and Castrol as well. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Be your dreams.
Inspirational.
Yeah. We are going to take a deep dive into this whole 49ers announcer business.
Very interesting.
Lots of thoughts on that and some bigger overarching thoughts on race that I think people will find fascinating.
Let's are you going to cure racism today?
I am.
Things, yeah.
I am going to solve it. I will. I think when I'm done giving you this brief explanation, you guys will go, yeah, that's right. That is how we are. That is how race works, or people's thoughts on race. Just to finish up the Chick-fil-A gate.
Oh, no.
The Gabe Gate, Leno Gate, Gate.
Rain Gate.
Don't do Gate.
Okay.
You're better than that, buddy. Come on.
Chick-fil-A on steroids.
Okay. On crack.
I realize there's two things. Well, there's one major thing. And I was sitting around last night and I was thinking that there was some point when there was a catastrophic break. I think of things like the NTAA does the thing where they put the airline back together and they go, this was the catastrophic issue. The catastrophic issue was Matt had a very busy day. Mm-hmm. Matt had the email from Leno that said, five guys. I got five guys here. When Matt said, I gave it to Gabe, I was assuming that sort of meant he pushed the info. Mm-hmm. Like, right. I've taken my police file and I've turned it over to the next detective.
Transfer.
So I thought he pushed that to him. Then realize the reason I never said to Gabe, did Matt give you Leno's file, is because Gabe, in all the interactions, never said a word about Leno.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, he's got the email.
It's taken care of.
That part's taken care of because he's never said the word Leno, his guys, his side, what they want. So there is an email that says, here's what Leno's guys want. I'm assuming he got that email because in all our interactions, if he doesn't have that email, in my brain, he stops and goes, aren't those guys going to order?
Mm-hmm.
But he never says a word about that side. So he has them covered via the email's been passed off to him. That's where I realized the break was. And I should have stopped and went, did you get the email from Matt? But it's also clinically insane to not get the email from Matt, know we're bringing it to Leno's crew, and never say one word about what they want. Now, as far as the 30-piece nugget, I'm
satisfying.
I never know. I'm in this weird zone because I deal with a lot of these people and have dealt with a lot of these people in my life. I never think of people as liars. But what exactly do you call it when you go, well, I thought the 30 piece was for Leno.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, that got tacked on last second.
Right.
You brought up Leno not a before that. Mm-hmm. So you didn't think Leno was covered by the 30 piece. Is that lying?
Let me ask you a question. Is it not reasonable that Leno's order would have come in at the end via the post-it? Like, we've been trying around all day. We just got his order from his assistant or from him or whatever. We've been trying him, and here it is, you know, added to our orders. Is that a reasonable explanation?
Well, first off, in a world where everyone's name was attached to their order, a post-it that just said 30 nuggets with no Leno name seems a little opaque.
Less than,
And if it did have
Leno's
name. And
also, it would be weird that the biggest star in this thing who ordered Chick-fil-A and who wanted us to bring us in was not on the order list when the order was going down. That'd be very strange that his name would never come up the whole time. Yeah. And also weird that Jay Leno would just order 30 nuggets.
That's what I was going to say. If it said Jay Leno 30 nuggets, somebody would have said, wow, that's Jay Leno's order, 30 nuggets?
Right.
That would have been a huge conversation starter.
So it's essentially lying.
Talk to town.
But is it lying? I don't know how lying. I'm not sure. I know a lot of people who lie.
No, that's not lying.
Well, then what is it?
It's making the convenient facts that are available fit what the narrative, I guess, fit the
bendy.
Yeah.
But what about all the people where you go, Hey, man, you know, how about the people where you go, how about these people? Because I run this all the time, too, where you go, hey, man, you're late. And they go, oh, yeah, I was having car problems. And then they go, yeah, but I sent an Uber over for you. And they go, oh, yeah, I had a small fire, a small grease fire in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and you go like, oh, you just switched to another thing? I never think of those people as liars, but think about people who do that all the time. They'll just go, oh, not this? Yeah. Oh, then that. I'll hop to something else.
In this situation, I would call it plausible but unlikely. Like, everything sort of adds up. Like, yeah, I suppose that makes sense, but it's unlikely, and further steps could have prevented it.
But is it lying?
I'd say no.
Why not?
I think a lie has an intent to deceive.
Isn't this an intent to deceive?
No.
Why? I said, where's Leno's order? And he said, I thought it was the McNuggets.
Maybe he did think it was McNuggets.
No, I don't think he thought that.
Well,
that's an intent to deceive.
And that's a judgment call.
Well, no. The argument,
plausible.
The argument is, why did you never ask for Leno's order?
Mm-hmm.
His answer is, I thought the McNuggets were his order, but he never asked the whole time, and that got tacked on at the end. How could that?
That's what I'm saying.
How could he be thinking that?
It's plausible, I suppose, but it's unlikely.
Then it's probably lying.
All right, I guess.
If it's black or white, lie or not lie.
Well,
if it's
on one
side of the aisle or the other, yes, I suppose it falls on the lying side. But
I don't think people as liars, but I do hear a lot of answers that are propelled that way, and I don't know. I would call it a reflexive self-protection lie.
Yes,
it's not a lie.
It's not a declaration.
It's an explanation that goes in your favor.
It's a lie that is essentially what manslaughter is to murder one. Murder, yes?
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Can you agree with
that? Yes, no, like I said, if on the black and white scale of, yes, lie versus not a lie, but in terms of gray, this is more the manslaughter.
It's manslaughter. No, you still have a lie.
You still have a dead body.
The other one is, I'm going into lie.
Yeah, right.
I've planned this lie out. The
this
next
is
one is I just got to cover myself.
Interesting.
That's what I think. Because I know a lot of manslaughter lying out there. Talk to a lot. Every time someone gives you an answer and you go, well, couldn't be that because I said this, they go, oh, well, then it was this. That's manslaughter lying. If you think about it, I know a lot of manslaughter liars. Most people tend to do it a little bit.
It's more common than the murder lie.
Well, it's less nefarious.
But think about all the manslaughter lying.
Yeah, no, it's much more prevalent. It's a lot of times, like you said, it's the like Gina alluded to, the bending of the facts to sort of favor you. You know what I mean? Or the bending of the explanation.
Yeah. All right. I guess the question is, here's the big question.
All right.
If Max Zapata never tacked on the 30 nuggets at the end, would Gabe have stopped and went, what's Leno's order?
Mm.
And if the answer is no, and I know the answer is no because his name never came up, then it's a lie about the McNuggets.
In Gabe's defense on this one point, he did say, again, poorly worded, what one sandwich per person or one thing per person, whatever he said. So he was at least on to, this seems like a light order.
But he never said Leno's name.
I know.
He never said Leno's name.
I'm not going to bat for the guy. I'm just saying.
I'm just interested. I've been thinking a lot lately about a bunch of people who I don't think of anyone as a liar.
Right.
But if you have dealt with many people in my life, there's a lot of lying coming down the pike. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I can't tell you business deals and stuff where they go, oh, I thought I paid you back. Mm-hmm. Like, did you think you paid me back?
Right.
You would know if you paid me back.
Now, is that the manslaughter version where they're like, they're not outright lying, but they're kind of, you know, their explanation favors them?
I have said to people in my world, including family members, hey, so-and-so did a bunch of work on your house. You never paid them. And they go, I thought I paid them. Now, if you thought you paid them, then you got out your checkbook and you wrote them a check for work they did a week ago. So did you think that?
Mm-hmm.
And now that's somewhere between murder one and manslaughter. I'm going to raise that above manslaughter.
That's murder two.
How many times do people say to you, I thought I did do that, whatever. And it's like, there's no way you thought you did that. You didn't do it.
You have no memory of it.
And this person doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
So
Which is it?
What are you saying to me? I know you don't. I know if I pumped you full of sodium pentothal, you wouldn't actually sit around and go, no, my recollection is I cut that person a check.
I remember writing the check. I remember where I was.
Right. So why are people so convenient with themselves? And who are they talking to? Because I know you didn't do it.
It's what you said. It's self-preservation.
Right.
And does the, I think I remember paying them, or I'm sure. Is that just kick the can down the road? You know what I mean? It's just kind of buy you more
time.
Just buy you more time.
Well, here's by the way, yes. It is. It's self-preservation. Kick the can down the road with a dusting of stupidity. And here's the main thing. Low character. Here's how you know they're lying.
Okay.
And they're lying. Because they go, oh, I thought I paid the guy who worked at my house. I go, he told me he didn't. Okay, let me get my checkbook. Oh, well, if you thought.
Right.
I'm not paying
you'd
twice.
You'd go, hold on.
Let me go to the bank and get my records.
Let me pull up my computer file here. Yeah. Like, would you ever have something that you think you did? Like, I thought I paid that for fill in the blank. And then someone goes, well, you didn't. And you just start walking for your checkbook.
I got to pay again.
Maybe that means you were lying.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
But it's still, again, it's not lying, but it is manslaughter lying. And there's a lot of that floating around. Lazy lying. All right. Let's see. Who's coming in here?
Whitman.
Brian Whitman.
Oh, Whitman.
The great
good.
Brian.
We're going to have fun.
Ernie Anderson.
We're going to do some Morton. I don't know what I said. We're going to do Morton Anderson. You said Anderson.
Yeah.
I said Morton Anderson's a football player.
Kicker.
We're going to do some morning zoo
yes.
for you guys coming up when he comes in. All right. So. Thoughts on race, the San Francisco announcer guy. So I don't know if you're familiar with this fella, Brian.
I know Tim Ryan fairly well. He used to, I think he went to USC. I think he was one of USC's alumni, and he used to do hosting things for USC football, and he's obviously moved up now. He does stuff for the Niners.
Right. So
he played for the Cardinals?
Can we hear the tape of what he said? All right, let's listen to the tape of what he said.
When his dark skin color with a dark football with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point, and it that's going to mean. And you're a half step slow on.
That it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's our right. out point on a middle of a syllable.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like we should. Edit better.
Okay.
Anyway, he's talking about, who's he speaking about?
Lamar Jackson. Niners play the Ravens in a big game. They're both, I think,
right.
top their respective divisions and conferences. And Lamar Jackson, of course, is playing really well. He's presumptive MVP candidate, the leading MVP candidate. And Ryan was alluding to the fact that when he has the ball, which is, of course, a dark brown pigskin against a black uniform, they were in their black uniforms
or
that day.
Dark purple. Are they black?
Almost
they black.
Yeah,
well, they might be black.
That's black.
Yeah, they're black.
And his skin, he's a black man. His skin is dark. It's hard to see the ball when he's play faking, holding the ball, whatever he's doing. It's difficult. It's harder to see the ball than if Matthew Stafford is holding it.
Right. And,
so what is quarterback I think of? Philip Rivers.
The widest. Jeff George is still the widest guy because he had a mullet. Philip Rivers. Right. So he's there to provide analysis.
Right.
First things first, let's have a context. What are you doing? A couple drunk hillbillies just cracking wise on a porch? Or are you there to provide game analysis? Lamar Jackson, for all his great running and his great athleticism and his great mobility, there are a lot of great athletic mobile quarterbacks and have been. It's where he really gets it is right at the beginning. He holds that fake, that play action. You know, there's a lot of guys who do a play action, which is fake run, keep the ball and throw it, or fake run, keep the ball and run it. A lot of guys do it with just their empty hand.
I was going to say. That's to further back up Tim Ryan's point. These white guys who reach out with the empty hand, they're hiding the ball, you know what I mean, from the defense. They're tucking the ball in and pretending to hand it off to a running back so as to create the illusion of a run so they can then pass the ball and have a better play.
He does a move where it's a college game thing, where he stuffs the ball in there, and they both sort of take a half step around it. So it's, you're like, I don't know who's going to end up with this ball. And then he peels it back and breaks off a run. And Tim's point is that those couple of milliseconds in there give a guy who's already a tremendous athlete the first step. Mm-hmm. That's enough. So what he's got to do is he's got to get the outside linebacker or the defensive end to bite on that play fake. If he's down around the goal line, that defensive end or outside linebacker who's rushing has a millisecond to either go for the running back or contain. Go out and contain. Right. And they bite on it because he's... But also, there's a visual thing. You can't see because of the dark... the jersey color, the ball color, and the arm color.
Throw in the fact that Mark Ingram, who is the starting running back for the Ravens, is also black.
Right.
It's hard to see the ball. And it's raining in this particular game.
Right.
We know what rain does.
Right.
Indeed. Can't
trying
play.
To order Chick-fil-A, trying to do outside contain, have an angle of pursuit, and order Chick-fil-A in the rain.
Kiss. Can't be done.
So this person, Tim Ryan, is bringing up a very valid point. Now, his ethnicity is not really what he's speaking about. He's physically talking about the color of his skin. It wouldn't really
contrasting
matter
against the ball.
If he was Hawaiian or Filipino or something. Or look, if it was a white guy, and the white guy was wearing long brown armbands, like LeBron James wears that weird...
Sleeve.
He wears Spanx on one arm.
The charms,
if that thing was ball-colored, and then he wore ball-colored glove, then the announcer would go, it's a disadvantage, or it's an advantage, or whatever. But by the way, they would outlaw it. Mm-hmm. I bet you if you took a ball-colored glove and put it on the quarterback.
In baseball, you can't... okay, that's a really good one-to-one example. If you're a pitcher in baseball, you can't have white sleeves.
That's right.
And you can't even have your... Like Pedro Martinez... I think it was Pedro Martinez. Like, Chris, you could look this up.
Somebody,
He had, like, cut his sleeves. Or he cut them too much. There was some controversy because the white jersey was flapping too much. And when the white ball... Mm. You know, that's literally a millisecond or two.
Right.
And, you know, that's dangerous if you can't tell the ball from the jersey or the sleeve or the whatever.
So Tim Ryan is there to give his analysis from the side of someone who's an expert in the field of how they pull this off or what it is. And he's speaking about something that is a sort of mechanical truth.
It was someone else.
Yeah.
Literally cutting
the sleeve off of his uniform.
Red Sox player?
Right, because the ball's white, the thing's white, that's what happens. I've said before, in boxing, imagine if one guy's gloves were golden and the other guy's gloves were flesh tone.
Yeah.
Like, that guy would have an advantage. You'd hold him against his chest, you wouldn't be able to see it for just a millisecond, but that's all it takes.
Yep. In baseball, they block out the dead center field bleacher seats. Why? You can't have, like, you know, the ball coming against these. They block out, like, a green tarp because you don't have the ball going as other colors. You're going to kill somebody.
That is your second excellent baseball point in as many minutes, Brian.
But keep it up. It's going to be a short show.
So he brought up that statement. We'll hear it one more time, and then we'll hear what then of course there's outrage because you've spoken about a black human being.
You brought up his skin color.
You brought up skin color.
You mentioned it.
Also, no one ever... There's also part of it, I don't know if we clipped or not, where he's going, he's such a great athlete that millisecond is all he needs. Mm-hmm. Which
that didn't get played.
I would argue that saying the guy's a great athlete is he's not provoking a fight with the guy, or he's not talking down to the guy.
He's an amazing athlete.
Yeah, sorry.
What you're talking about is the RPOs, the run-pass options, and those were very popular in college for like the last, I don't know, 5-6 years-ish, and they became popular now in the NFL thanks to Lamar Jackson and some of these other mobile quarterbacks, where what happens is it's not even play fake, play action. Like, he literally puts the ball in the guy's gut, and for about a half a second, they're both kind of holding it, and he has the option to take it back and throw it or just let the play go as a run. It's fairly devastating when it works well.
Right, and until someone gets injured, it's going to work. But not you being on the defensive side of the ball and not really knowing which athlete possesses the ball. even if it's, and you know, they go, oh, for a second or a half second, it's 0.2 seconds, but that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah. All you need is that rushing outside linebacker to commit in, and he's going around. That guy has containment. Mm-hmm. That guy has to funnel it inside, meaning if it gets around him, he's going to the end zone.
Okay.
And he bites and goes inside, and the quarterback mm-hmm. goes around him. And he has a millisecond to decide whether to bite, and he can't.
When he's...
Sorry.
That's right.
All right. We'll try
when
it.
When he's... His dark...
All right. We're having a little technical difficulty.
When he's... His dark skin color with a dark football, with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point.
All right. And then went on to say, because he's a great athlete. So, it's a pretty valid point. And
it's a good insight.
My whole wish would be that we should find real racism and point it out. And these guys don't need to be wished out into the cornfield or flogged in the town square, because this is not what you want. See, this is a step backwards in the racism discussion, because real colorblindness is the ability to speak freely about people if you're not trying to hurt them or you're not trying to discredit them or their race or anything. It's literally you're stifling a person from one race from talking about a person of another race who is praising the other person, but you're stifling them, or you're at least having them choose their word. Now everyone has to choose their words no matter what the intent is.
Right.
We have to choose our words because we're going to be called racist because we brought up skin color as part of the analysis. And that is not a step toward the light. Mm-hmm. And also, as I've said, every calorie you burn toward this guy is one you've used up and can't use toward actual racism.
You water down actual racism.
Well, you're just not even looking for it.
And also, like,
right,
who the boy who cried racism, like, who's even listening anymore? So he was suspended for this.
Oh, of course.
He had to offer an apology, which, again, it's not a real apology because he knew what he was saying.
Right.
He just didn't want to get wished out into the cornfield.
Forever.
So his apology was what, Maxipata? You don't know what his apology was?
When it was?
Yeah,
what he said.
Yeah, what day was it on?
Sorry,
the Tuesday?
I had to step out for a second.
Where's Tim Ryan's apology? Sorry.
I have his apology. I don't have the date.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, Tim said, I regret my choice of words in trying to describe the conditions of the game.
Hold on a second. He regrets his choice of words.
I bet he does now.
He regrets it because somebody's threatening to fire him.
Yeah.
He didn't regret it at the time. It was a pretty cogent point. Like, it was I like to analyze things, and I was like, oh yeah, that does make a difference. So it was a very, in terms of wanting analysts to analyze things, you should not regret your choice of words at all. That was bang on. But now he regrets it because somebody told him he was getting fired. Go ahead.
Lamar Jackson is an MVP caliber player, and I respect him greatly.
Hold on. Of course he is. Everyone knows that. This has nothing to do with that. But again, this is more back to the cornfield.
Boilerplate apologies.
Can't get. Don't want to get out. We can't. This is a tough job to come by.
Indeed.
I want to sincerely apologize to him and anyone else I offended.
Does he not know he's black?
Why, breaking news.
Why are you apologizing to him? You're saying he's a great quarterback and does a great job at this. Mm-hmm. You just said he knows he's black, right?
Presumably.
Okay. And anyone else who's offended. All right. So.
Question.
We've got our apology. Now, it's a forced apology. He doesn't mean it.
Right.
Nobody means an apology. Nobody apologizes or wants to apologize for a thing or means an apology when they weren't putting the person down.
Right.
They were discussing a sort of a mechanical fact.
There was
no evil doing.
Right.
Question. If Tim Ryan was black, would and could we still be having this conversation? Because in 2019, we very well may, but I don't know.
If this was Booger McFarlane, no.
Well,
it was a black
guy. Keyshawn Johnson.
No, you're right.
Booger's a buffoon, but any other.
No, he's a buffoon, which would really let him get away with this.
Point, yeah.
What? Booger's a buffoon. He's not a stately, well-mannered man.
With a name like Booger?
He said good day. So, it's a good point, and if this was Keyshawn Johnson, No. I think someone could have tweeted something, but the world would have just rolled
right along.
It.
Yeah.
All right, so that's another good point, which is why are we factoring in the race of the person who sang it so heavily? And then Dr. Harry Edwards, who's what's his title over at Berkeley?
Sociologist?
It says Professor Emeritus of Sociology.
There you go.
At UC Berkeley.
Apology not accepted.
Harry.
I love it.
Yeah. I like Harry Edwards. He didn't go for it?
Well, as we've said, as I've always said, these guys are in the race hustling business, and there's no real good stuff anymore.
Yeah,
so when
up.
A little nugget falls down, you got to grab it with both hands. Here we go.
I know Tim, and he is not of a maleficent mind relative to these types of issues. But of course, that does not mean that he gets or should get a pass.
Hold on, a pass from what?
Yeah, exactly. But what are you getting a pass for?
From analyzing a football game? Like, he doesn't get a pass. Like,
give me a pretty good insight, I'd say.
I do like this one. I like it when it's like, I know the guy. He's not a bad man. He's not a racist. But you have to understand how those words, you know, it's like, no, but then why? Then why?
I know what he means by it. He has a kind soul.
Yeah,
that said, we should not let him off the hook.
He's analyzing. Sorry, go ahead, Dawson.
That does not mean he should get a pass regarding his comments on Lamar Jackson and assigning any dimension of Lamar's undeniable brilliance at QB to his skin color.
When?
That's
it's
like minimizing his accomplishments because he has an advantage, a genetic. That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
All right.
A raw and sensitive assessment and assertion, not only because it is profoundly obtuse and ignorant on its face and carries implications that I'm certain were not intended, but because skin color has been such a factor in rationalizing denial of black athletes' opportunities to play the QB position over most of the NFL's 100 years of existence.
Well, that little nugget is true. But
this is an argument for black.
Isn't
it? It's not a,
that doesn't make any sense.
You can go. The NFL has a sketchy history with black quarterbacks. That is true. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with this case.
Right.
He's praising a black quarterback and saying the color of his skin helps.
And another thing he said, he being Harry Edwards, said it was not accurate, I don't think, was called him ignorant. Tim Ryan was a defensive lineman in the NFL for a few years. Like the guy who would be fooled or not fooled by this play. Like, he understands what goes into, you know, defending these types of plays.
All right. So the good news is
not ignorant.
He's only been suspended for one game. Just like, or not. I see, my feeling is the way to correct this is every time somebody makes an innocuous statement about race or skin tone or color or anything, when you apologize, it just gets chalked up as one more racist, whatever. What you need to do, whether it's at home with your wife or your kids or macro in society, is go, hey, I'm not apologizing. I've made analysis that had to do with the color of the ball, the color of the skin. It has nothing to do with his heritage. It has everything to do with you. And it's actually a visual thing. It's the ability for the defensive players to visually spot the ball. So no, this is not a racist statement. And no, I'm not going to apologize because it's not going to go in the basket of one more racist statement.
Because thus it goes in the racist file.
Right. And I started thinking about it, and I had a bigger thought.
You have an analysis?
I have an analysis. I think we, in terms of how we think of race, I think we have an individual and a group. I think we think of groups certain ways. Like, if you're in an all-white neighborhood and you're walking your dog and a couple of black teenagers drive by in a beat-up car, you have thoughts. You don't know who those two guys are, but that's a group thought. Because you have thoughts about, well, what are these young black guys doing in this neighborhood and that car beat up and whatever. Okay, that's kind of a group-based thought. But when Kamala Harris says, I couldn't get the votes because of the color of my skin. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have group thoughts toward her. We have her thoughts toward her. I mean, how does the nation or most human beings, like if you said to me, what do you think of Kamala Harris versus President Obama? I would go, I don't know. They're both black people. I don't have any thoughts. I'd go, she seems uncomfortable in her own skin. I feel like she's laughing at her own jokes. And I feel like she's lying most of the time and doesn't really have a good sense of him. What about Obama? Comfortable in his own skin.
Prince Charming.
Charismatic. I'd like to have a beer with that guy. Like, that's a guy I'd like to hang out with. That guy seems very, I don't agree with many of his policies, but I think he's a very charismatic guy who's comfortable. He's a great orator. He's great at communicating. Seems has the right balance of sort of humor with, you know, stateliness or whatever. Kamala Harris, none of that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't come across that way to me. So now you have these sort of group think, that's the two black teenagers in the beat up car driving through the white thing, but not individually.
Mm-hmm.
Not, we don't as Americans go, we will not nominate Kamala Harris because she is black. No, she is Kamala Harris to us. People become, they transcend their race. You can think of folks, think about the way you think of Obama versus you think of and just fill in whatever black guy. You feel very differently about them.
OJ.
The notion, and on the OJ.
Black.
How dare. On the OJ front and on the Bill Cosby front.
Oh, yeah.
We're also fluid.
Mm.
Because
new information can come to light.
We loved Bill Cosby, the black man.
And how?
America's
we
dad.
Loved him. We didn't look at him as black people. We looked at him as Bill Cosby, and we loved him. Later on, turned out to drop a few roofies, and now we think of the same black guy another way, which proves we don't have a set way of thinking. It is true you think in a group way. Like you think, the Chinese do better at school than Hispanics do at school.
How dare you?
Or this group or that group or that group or the Germans, they drive faster than the Chinese. Like we'd rather be behind a German guy on the freeway than a Chinese guy on the freeway. We think grouply that way, but individually, once we get down to Kamala Harris, no.
No thoughts.
She earns it. There is no woman and the color of her skin. Not the woman part either. You think of Margaret Thatcher. She's a woman. Think of her very differently. There are many women and examples of women you think of very differently.
Think of Andrew Yang and how confused he is by the alt-right dudes throwing their support behind him.
I know. And if you think about Angela Merkel and who did I just bring up?
Thatcher.
Thatcher. Both just sort of middle-aged Yenta women. Both have very different thoughts on politics. And in your brain, depending on what side you're on, you like that one, you don't like them. It's not like, I don't like women, or I love women. Well, Alyssa Milano loves women, but she doesn't like Margaret Thatcher. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
Like it's not giving us enough credit.
Mm.
We think about everyone kind of how. Kamala Harris is out of the race because she's not charismatic.
Right.
She doesn't come across as sincere at all. She has these weird, like, outbursts of laughter at her own bad jokes. And she wasn't likable. If you had taken Barack Obama and somehow taken his spirit and his soul and his psyche and put it in Kamala Harris's body, we'd still be voting for her.
Cooking.
We'd be like, oh, the color of her skin.
Right.
She's lighter than Obama was.
Mm.
Her hair is straighter. She didn't really even appear to me to be African American, but she wasn't charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we look at it.
To your point, I've seen a lot of headlines and articles basically summarize saying, like, Democrats were happy with the diversity of their field when it was like 20 or 22 people, and now that it's reducing to what it is, they're less happy with that diversity. It's like, the market's speaking, man. These are Democrats who are being polled, and like the market is determining. They're weeding out people that are uncharismatic or don't connect or whatever it is. It's not a diversity thing.
Or aren't challenging enough people to push up contests.
Right. Oh, yeah. See? There
Uncle
you go.
Joe. Well, look,
whatever it is my point.
So I look at Joe Biden exactly how Joe Biden gets me to look at him, and I look at Cory Booker exactly how they get me to look at him. And then there's Larry Elder. He's black. I look at him the way he gets me. It's this thing of like we lump the black people in all together, all the women, all the Hispanic. It's really insulting.
It's condescending.
It's condescending and insulting. You look at, and you brought up OJ. I mean, OJ.
Is he in the field now?
You look, he would get some votes. But I mean, you look at him as a hero. When I was growing up, he was a hero. And then he's now OJ. Yeah. All right, it's just a black guy. He got
Same
us.
Guy.
He got us to do it. You have a video clip of Kimberly Atkins explaining that America's not ready for a white, black, you know, whatever. By the way, she's blaming Democrats, right?
Yeah, they're the one. This is all determined by poll numbers, how much they're raising or not raising. It's like these are your people are giving, you know, the Democrats are giving you the money.
Right. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
But here, listen, we can't let this subject pass without making it very clear that it was very difficult. She dropped out because of money. Yes. Why was she not getting people to open up their pocketbooks and getting the same kind of money that Pete Buttigieg and other people are? Because you hear it time and time again. I like Kamala Harris, but I'm not sure that a woman will win. I like Kamala Harris, but I'm not sure that a person of color, but I'm not sure she can beat Donald Trump. But if you ignore those factors that were major impediments for her in this race with all these other folks.
All right.
Wait a second. Nope. We've already had a black president. What does that mean? We don't know if a black president
could
win.
She raised the most amount of money.
Yeah, the most money. She won the popular vote.
Nobody's saying that.
No human being has ever said, I love the land of the lost. And no human being has ever said, I have a business card. It's on me right now.
Yeah. Here you
Let
go.
Me present no, you no. with it. And no one has ever said, I love Kamala Harris. But she's a woman.
I just don't think it's in the cards.
I don't think she's black. How can she win? No. Well,
there's precedent.
Let me get out my history book.
Quite recently.
Yes. Much in our lifetime.
Please stop playing this card all the time.
She just didn't
for
connect.
For everything.
She didn't
right.
connect.
But whether it's Kamala Harris or the play-by-play or, sorry, the
Tim Ryan.
This is not the time. This is not what happened. Race was not... There was a human being of a black race involved with this conversation, but that's not racism. Please stop weaving it into every conversation. For the love of Christ, because people are they're not really listening anymore.
Well, and then I just, you know, we have so many comedians on here, and of course no safe spaces, and the guy from Google and Tim Ryan. And if you're going for a job interview and you're doing one of these things, you almost have to ask your future employer, how would you like me to proceed? How would you like me to do my job? Because I know you want me to be, you know, edgy and thoughtful and interesting, but I also don't want to get fired and become a pariah. So how am I supposed to thread that needle?
Could you imagine doing sports analysis? The NFL is like 68% African American.
Right.
You're trying to do a thing where that guy's scooting down the field like a bar stool. Wait, what else is in the room?
Like a
trash can.
Like a box.
That guy's moving down the street like a carpet.
Like light
carpet
bulb.
Squares.
Light bulb.
Like my knee. Like me. Like my sleeve. Like the taste in my mouth. That guy's moving down the field like a...
Certainly not any kind of animal.
No, not an animal.
White lightning? No.
It's a panther. Oh, no, wait. He's moving down the field like someone who's equal to everyone else on that field.
Just a little faster.
Right, so a little faster.
By virtue of the fact that he's running away from everyone.
Right. He's running away from people. But he's moving out. Let me look around. Like a thermostat. Or like a switch plate cover.
Light switch.
Light switch. Or the plate cover.
He's on.
It goes on. I think I made my point.
Yeah.
Can we wrap this up?
First time. we should do a scared announcer.
Scared announcer.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it's got it. I mean, if you want to know why, like, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are
north of the border.
You want to know why everything's a nothing burger, yeah, because they have to just physically say what's happening and say he's as good as any quarterback in the league or whatever. They can't even start thinking on an interesting, because they could immediately get out of a lane. All right. I mean, when I talked to Leno... he had called Gabrielle Union a nice girl, and that was trouble.
That. And that was, and that should have been the end of it. Right. The most diplomatic man on the planet.
Use the word girl. All right. Ooh. Let's see. Yes.
Fun idea. Mm. What's that about that? I'll pitch it to you. Brian Whitman comes in here. We play the Rotten Tomatoes game with him. He, voice actor extraordinaire, impersonator extraordinaire, he has to do a voice from that movie. Of an actor from that movie.
Oh, okay.
He has to do so. He has to answer as an actor.
He's
from
gonna
that movie.
Kill you.
He does not know.
Wait, is Don Imus in the movie? He's gonna kill you, Brian.
All right.
What if Tom Likas was in Forrest Gump?
There you go.
We'll bring him in. We'll play Rotten Tomatoes with him. Let me tell you about. Cue up Victoria Williams, "Your Love," which I love that song. But I was also sitting around last night, and I have it. Thinking about. We were talking about the trumpet mute and the sound of the trumpet mute, and
it struck
me that at the end of that song,
I have that. Do you want to hear the whole song, or I mean, it's a 4.5?
And now we'll hear the middle, and then we'll skip to the end. Stamps.com. Who still goes to the post office, especially during the holidays? When it's extra busy. I've used stamps.com for 10 years. We send out merch. We send out books. We send out paperwork. It's the post office right on your computer. You can buy and print U.S. postage for any letter, any package, even schedule a mail carry to pick up and skip the L.A. traffic. Oh, boy, going to the post office. Let's not get in with that. Plus, 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. 700 small businesses use stamps.com. We got a special offer. 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That's stamps.com. Enter Adam. For some reason, I started thinking about this Victoria Williams song off an album called Loose, which you guys would enjoy very much.
Good song. I was listening to it.
Yeah, and it was the end. See, it played 30 seconds for the minute. You remember this one. Love the horns.
Understated.
Yeah. You are love, you are love, you are really, really, really love. I love chick rock. You are love, you are really love. You are love, you are love, you are really love. You are love, you are love, you are really, really, really love. Think the mute. Comes in. I think that's what a trumpet sounds like with the mute stuffed in the end of it. And somehow, while I was sitting and thinking, always doing show prep. Always looking to improve.
Show prep all the time.
Show prep
all the time. All right. Brian Whitman's going to come in here. We'll take a break. We'll do some Morning Zoo with Brian Whitman. And we'll do a few minutes of that, and then we'll jump into the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Yeah, you heard Dick. It's time for month 8 of Adam's Monthly Nut. December shipment includes a Pinot Protector wine condom. We at Corolla Drinks practice safe drinking. A man show beer stein, commemorating a great TV show, and a time less woke. You'll also get 3 samples of super fat keto nut butters to stave off the need for a burrito at lunch. Of course, a bottle of Mangria or 33 wines, and a shrimp diviner. The perfect gift to show someone just how much you love them. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut.
He's dreaming of some white privilege, just like the HuffPost said he had. In popcorn tins he was pissing, as a child he would listen to his mom shout, freak out in locked rooms. He's dreaming of some white privilege, with every dumpster he would die. His early days weren't merry or bright. When digging ditches on construction sites.
Hey, everybody's back right around the morning to you. Ass crack, back jack in the morning. I'm ass crack over here, back jack.
Hey, goodbye, everybody. It's been the day.
We got Marty St. Clair in the air. He's coming in traffic and weather, and traffic and masters and lanes. Marty.
Now what's happening, Al Crack and Back Zach? And we got a mattress and lanes on the Ronald Reagan Freeway. We got a box spring and lanes on the Santa Monica Freeway, futon and lanes on the Harbor Freeway, and a Murphy bed and lanes on the Pasadena Freeway.
Back Zach,
this one brought to you by Ben Bridge, your personal jeweler. Back to you.
Hey, I think it'd be wonderful to send one of our interns down there to collect all the furniture items, put together a living room set, and give it a color 100.
Hey, Sludge, you little. All right, so Sludge coming down. He's going to be down the Buffalo Wild Wings out there in San Dimas. Going to kick Sludge in the nuts, get yourself a party pack. Sludge, you listen. You're going to have to divert course. We need to pick up the box ring, the max dresser over there, and Lane's over there. We got Stax, our gossip girl over there. How you doing, Stax? What's going on in the world over there?
Tom Cruise was spotted shopping at the farmer's market with his daughter. He loves those farm fresh plums.
Hey, we need a music bed on this thing. I may be breaking down the fourth wall, but here it comes. There we go.
I like the feel of that one, especially as we get ready for the horrible scoops this morning. I want to tell you, if you're bored today, I think you're a Scorpio.
Okay. Let me jump in here because we got weather, traffic, weather, top of the hour, quarter hour, eighth hour, 16th hour, 32nd hour, 64th hour. Irwindale, check it in. 62 degrees. Pomona, 62. Cerrito, 62. Encino, 62. Santa Monica, 62. Hollywood, 62. Santa Maria, 62 degrees. Santa City, check it in. 62 degrees. Pasadena, 62. Glendale, 62. Alhambra, 62. Torrance, 62. Norwalk, 62. Pondale, 62. Manhattan Beach, 62. Huntington Beach, 62. Hermosa, 62 degrees. Zuma, 62 degrees. Seal Beach, 62 degrees. Long Beach, 62 degrees. Everything with the beach in, 62 degrees. Whittier's checking in. Wait a minute. This just in. Azusa coming in, 62 degrees. And we got traffic, weather, traffic, weather, lanes. And all coming up the top of the hour. The quarter hour is 8:22. That's 22 after the hour. That's
30
away from the top of the hour. So we check in with weather, traffic, news, and time. We check in with the time. We go to time, top of the hour, bottom hour, quarter hour, eighth hour, 16th hour, 32nd hour, 64th hour, 128th hour. Yeah, what's going on there, Backsack?
Time is important if you wake up with ass crack and Backsack. Good love. You got everybody. You need that time because you don't want to get fired or your buddy burned at work by that big bad boss of yours.
Hey, what's going on? We said Sludge, she down at the Hooters in San Dimas, or where's he at? Sludge, kick Sludge in the nuts, get yourself an ass crack and back sack, koozie, beer koozie in the morning. Come on down. Hey, what do we got, Dax?
Jennifer Lawrence has decided she wants to go back to acting.
That's a piece of ass. Boy, I like the drill that piece of ass. Boy, I wouldn't even pull her panties down. I'd pull them one side. Okay, I'd slap my big panty hog in her.
ass crack. I got to tell you, that made me so hot, I might have to excuse myself from the studio.
Hey, Marty St. Clair there. What's going on out there? Traffic, check it. We check it with weather, traffic, weather on the quarter half, 8 to 16, 30 seconds of the hour. What's going on?
It's a slow and go on the 5 freeway. It's slow and go on the 105, slow and go on the 405, slow and go on the 605, and slow and go on the 805. This traffic report brought to you by Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today. Back to you in the studio.
Hey, look out for brake lights out there because it is slow and go.
Yeah, and one thing I like about slow and go, because we do kind of an inspirational show. We kind of make you feel good in the morning. We have the voice of reason, Stacks, here because somebody has to break through with that voice of reason. If it's slow and go for you right now, the good news is it might be slow, but you're gonna go eventually, and those speeds will pick up, and that's hot.
Well, that's right. We need it on this program, boy. I'll tell you what, ass crack or backjack. I can't remember which one you are right now.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, but we need that kind of commentary, that insight. Stacks, what's going on in Hollywood?
Oh, Leo DiCaprio spotted with three women on his boat Capri, combined age 57.
Watch out, taking that Leonardo DiCaprio. I wouldn't pull those panties down. I'd put them on one side.
I got to tell you, man, I've never revealed this on the air, but I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go. Am I allowed to say that? I just want to be, kind of a shack jack in the studio.
It's 8:31. That's 31 after the top of the hour. It's 29 away from the top of the hour. We give the traffic and the timeout. We give the timeout 122 times in the quarter hour, the half hour, 16th hour. Hey, let's check the time. Let's check the weather. El Segundo coming in 62 degrees. Montebello 62. Culver City 62. San Dimas 62. Diamond Bar. Yeah, ass crack. Back sack.
62 at North Hollywood. Just get that in the IF booth.
All right, coming in. This is hot break and weather news. Let's hop onto the phone lines. Remember, we got a 50,000 watt flamethrower over here. Hey, Paul, what's talking to you? What's going on? You're on the ass crack back sack in the morning. Say hi to Stack.
Oh. Just getting up. What's the time and temperature here in Minneapolis?
Minneapolis coming in 49 in Minneapolis. St. Paul area, 49 degrees also in Minnesota, Minneapolis. Whole state coming in 49 degrees. And the time is 8:27. That's 27 after the hour. That's 33 away from the top.
Well, I'm late for work.
Well, you don't want to be late for work. You'll get your buns burned. I don't know if you've been terminated before, but there's a clipboard involved.
Hey, let me tell you something, caller Paul. I know you're out in the Minneapolis area. You're nowhere near Buffalo Wild Wings and San Dimas, but Sludge is there. And if you can make it there in the next 40 minutes, kick him in the nuts, give him the phrase it pays, you're going to walk out of there with a koozie. Now, I don't know how you're going to get there, but if you can get there the next 40, you say hi to Sludge.
He's right there in sad dumbass this morning. And I'm sorry, did a sack. On the ass crack and back sack show, the phrase of the page is, I listen to ass crack and back sack in the morning. And today's cash call jackpot is $10,170. You tell us that, and guess what? Wabba blabba, you're going to get a check. A bad check, but a check nonetheless. $10,170.
The weather in the state of Minnesota. Minnesota, there we got St. Paul coming in 49, Duluth 49, St. Cloud 79, Bloomington 49, Eagan 49, Burnsville 49, Maple 49, Blaine 49, Lakeville and Moorhead both coming in 49. That's what's going on in Minnesota.
49 degrees in Minnetonka, Minnesota. My friend Al Franken just called up, and he's very accepting of me since my revelation earlier this segment. On the heels of Leo DiCaprio.
Marty, what's going on in the freeways out there?
Hey, guys, we got bumper-to-bumper traffic on the 10, also the 110, also the 210, and also the 710. This traffic report brought to you by farmers. We are farmers. Dun, 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 dun. Back to you in the studio.
Ass crack or back sack, what's that?
Ass crack, this just in. There's a 1 in 10 chance that you'll have bumper-to-bumper traffic on the way to work today.
Yeah, well, I check my horoscope. Hey, speaking of horoscopes, any celebrity birthdays out there, Stacked?
Ashley Olsen, happy birthday, Mary Kate Ashley. We love you, Ash, and Mary Kate.
Isn't it both Olsen?
Yeah.
That's why I said we love you, Ashley, and Mary Kate.
We don't like the.
I can't imagine. Showed up to that Olsen house with just one birthday gift because ass crack, you nailed it like a hammer. Right, man.
If you watch, you couldn't think of a name of a celebrity that didn't have a twin.
Oh, you!
I feel like there are more celebrities that don't have twins.
I love doing this show because it's the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. Now, let me just check it. First off, it's 8:41. That's 41 after the hour. It's 19 away from the top of the hour.
And that's 79 before the next hour. And you want to keep...
Oh, we've gone and we've added the 60 yeah, and then the 70. Yeah, 79 right. before the 10 o'clock hour.
If it takes you 80 minutes to get to work, you'll be late and your buns might be burned.
I got to tell you, Inglewood checking in, 62. El Segundo, 62. Arcadia, 62. City of Industry, 62. Monterey Park, 62. Palos Verdes, 62. Altadena, 62. Susan Baldwin Park, 62 degrees. We got weather, traffic, weather and traffic at top of the hour, quarter hour, half hour, bottom of the hour, 8th hour, 16th hour, 32nd hour, and 64th hour.
And 62 degrees in Lakewood right now.
Stacks, any celebrities not having birthdays?
Oh, that would be Michael B. Jordan. He's spotted post-workout sweaty and hot, Creed, indeed.
And definitely not his birthday.
Nope, not his birthday.
Not his birthday.
What do you get him if it's not his birthday? Come on, everybody.
Back, Zach, or ass crack, I love you, man.
I love you, man. I got to tell you, for the 14 years we've been doing this show, man, I get up in the morning. Sometimes I remember when my grandmother passed away. And I was really sad. But you made me laugh that day, and I'll never forget it. But
well, I got to tell you, Backzack, I know corporate put us together and pretended like we had chemistry, even though we were from competing radio morning stations when we officially met. We didn't speak off the air for the first 7 years we worked together, but I feel a certain kinship has now come between us.
I do feel that after the hatred, the red-hot, white-hot hatred burned away, I saw in you a man that I had very little in common with and really didn't want to be next to in the morning. But I decided I'd do it anyway, because I needed the paycheck.
I remember at the beginning thinking that you were racist and homophobic, and now I just think you're racist. So I think we've made progress in that department.
I think that's awesome, man, and I think your tolerance and your diverse view of the world, reflected by the staff around us, of the ass-cracking, back-jack-shoot, the boom-boom, is all I need to see in a guy to say he's A-plus numero uno hachu.
I understand how you and your representation were upset about my favorite nation's decree because of your experience in the radio and me really just not being fresh to the game and the fact that we get paid the same even though you do all the heavy lifting on the shows. I understand it's a burn your saddle, but I appreciate the fact that you've been able to get past that.
It's more than a burn my saddle, buddy. It is a full-blown grievance in the human relations, human resources department. I do have to say that with all the charity work that I did when I worked on the Adult Contemporary Station with my yearly trips to Guatemala to feed the children who may not have eaten in 17, 18 days, I developed an appreciation for the human spirit reflected in you and by you every morning, especially when the sun comes up on the Ass Crack and Back Sack Show of the Morning.
And I understand my refusal to go with you on those pilgrimages because it was playoff season in the NHL. May have rubbed you the wrong way in terms of the way you look at me. Mated with us having consensual sex with the same woman for, what was it, 19 months? I understand why that caused a friction between the two of us.
Yeah, she was hot. Friction would be understating it. I hated you like poison, man. I wanted to wring your neck every morning on the Ass Crack and Back Sack Show.
But after coming to grips with your sexuality and understanding that you're much more fluid than originally advertised, I think we put that in our rearview mirror. Consequently, wrestling with the OxyContin addiction and the abuse of your stepson. Once you put that in your rearview mirror, I feel like we're freed up to move forward creatively.
And I saw Ass Crack, that you were a genuine guy. And I saw that when you said something, you meant it. But then, darn it, I'm sitting here doing the show and you're expressing that you're not homophobic. And you used the term rear view 3 times. That hurts. And you have popped the top on another Ass Crack and Back Sack HR grievance.
Let me just jump in. It's 8:51. It's 51 at the top of the hour. It's 9 away from the top. And right. Then it's 69. Oh, there I go again.
See that? That's personal.
Away
that's
from the next
kind,
hour.
That's the kind of stuff I don't like, man.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff I don't like.
But I would argue that you're overcompensating because of your own struggle with your own sexuality, the feelings you had toward the priest who molested you all through your Catholic school upbringing.
I would argue that you're not a psychiatrist or a Greek counselor, and I would argue that I have more issues than an episode of CNN's Crossfire. But let me tell you something, buddy. I don't come to work to be diagnosed. I come to make happiness and inspire listeners and give that important information like time, temp, traffic, and weather together on the fours. Right,
well, I don't want to be telling tales out of school, but the fact that you bring your pet in on a daily basis as emotional support dog, yet you ride a scooter to work and make the pet run alongside you on a 20-foot leash suggests to me a lack of empathy for our four-legged friends.
Ass crack, I want to tell you something that comes straight from my ass crack. This is how much I mean this. Thank you. I want to tell you something that you would call into question my scooter usage.
Hold on, Lancaster's checking in at 62. Calabasas, 62. Whittier, 62. Lancaster, I say that, 62. Carson, Inglewood, Elskana, 62. Yeah, I'm sorry. We got news, weather, traffic, news and weather, top quarter, 8, 16, 30 seconds of the hour. Yeah.
As for Corky, my emotional support animal, if you have some sort of issue with that Yorkie, Corky the Yorkie, that's why he got that name. I love him, everybody. He loves you, too. I have a certificate signed by the county health department that I need that corgi. And you know what you're doing? Your skating on ice is really thin, muchacho.
Okay, let's forget about ice and start talking about asphalt and whose ass is at fault here. Because what's going on with that corgi? That corgi's working hard to run 37 miles an hour behind your Vespa, my friend. And what I'm coming at is not from a position of emotional support and whether that's relevant. I'm talking about the means of transportation.
Hey,
if you're driving a Denali and Corky was riding shotgun, then you wouldn't hear a word from Ass Crack.
Ass Crack, I want to tell you something, man. You're coming in pretty hot. Over here in my cans, you're coming in pretty hot. You couldn't help yourself. I said you're skating on thin ice, and you had to, again, mention ice rooted in your distrust of immigrants from other nations. That you have been banging that drum all day. I want to bang on me drum all day. A little John Rundgren in 22 minutes right here with Ass Crack and Backsack in the morning. But you can't hide it. And I know where it's hidden. And I've got the map to get to all the secrets.
Now, let's not drill down on my xenophobic.
Drill down?
Let's not drill down on my xenophobic tendencies. Yes, I want a wall built. Of course I want a wall built. And of course I look down at brown people as lesser than me. But that has nothing to do
with your character.
Assessment.
And it has nothing to do with the way you inspire me. The way you inspire me when I come in here. I have to tell you something. I'm really overweight. I'm morbidly obese, according to my doctor. So I wake up many mornings not wanting to breathe another one. I'm hoping when I put the head on the pillow that sometimes morning time doesn't come around for old backside. But I wake up and I know there's a man only 3 feet away from me who's going to make me laugh and smile.
All right, I got to jump in with the weather here. Monterey Park coming in.
You've been overlooking it.
It's City. See, the industry 60. Arcadia 62. Irwindale 62. Pomona 62. As far as your morbid obesity, I actually did a little fact checking the other night on the Google.
Fact checking.
As opposed to shaming. Turns out you weigh more than an adult male panda bear. I don't know if that's a source of comfort for you. I hope it's a source of shame.
One of the things that I've always done in my career is I've left deep footprints for the listeners so they never forget that Backsack was there. That was told to me by a radio consultant. He said, Backsack, leave deep footprints. And I am attacked every day on issues like my weight, which I have no control. I have a thyroid condition. And I'm the size of a condominium in West L.A., man.
Stacks.
And I don't... While you might want to fire from your musket in my direction, I stand here like that wall you want built in Mexico with strength to show all those who might be facing a challenge this morning that they can get through it if they spend all morning, 3 hours a morning, that's all we ask.
I'd like you to build a wall around your refrigerator. Stacks, what's going on in Hollywood?
Ooh, Gwyneth Paltrow's dating again. Scene with Zac Efron.
All right, we'll be back in St. Clair in the air.
Yeah, here at Ashback and Backstack, we got a car fire at the 15 215 interchange. That's a carbecue at the 15 215 interchange. This update brought to you by Sit and Sleep. Sit and Sleep, if you didn't advertise bar price, or your mattress is free.
All right, remember, sludge down to Buffalo Wild Wings and San Dimas. Go down there, kick them in the nuts, give them the phrase it pays, get away the koozie. I'll tell you what, Backstack.
Yeah, Bob.
Why don't we just march it down the hall and walk into Jack Silver's office and see if we can just hash this thing out there in a commercial break.
Maybe we could do it. I'd like to do it because I want to do a show that's entertaining and free of any personal baggage.
Well, that's going to be difficult because you come in here like a Sherpa dragging baggage every single morning.
Ass crack.
Yes, back sack.
Tell it to my Marconi Award, buddy.
You shaping wax. You sculpting wax in the shape of famous inventor Marconi is not a Marconi Award.
That is a legitimate award, and I'm not going to sit here and be disrespected. And you have the audacity to talk about my award I received back in 1991 in front of the entire industry. I remember consultant Randy Lane said, buddy, you're hot in the morning with the AC tunes.
I have I know you like to belittle my... I know you like to belittle my Emmy. I have a daytime local Emmy, which I say is much better than Marconi Award. Plus, I was voted top 10 DJ in spin and hits and radio and dial magazine 9 years running.
I'm strong, man. I'm not easily offended. The reason I come here is to inspire people having a tough time getting out of bed in the morning. And if you think I am intimidated by your midday television Miami Emmy. I worked in South Florida. I worked at number one Y100, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, in the Palm Room. And I'm going to tell you something. I happen to be personal friends with Shotgun Tom Kelly. And that man has 6 daytime Emmy Awards from local programming in San Diego, all kids shows, because that man has a heart and a big hat. But he wants to raise those kids because the parents, sometimes sadly, aren't around to do themselves.
I'm going to say something I may regret in future days. That's not Backsack's real voice.
What?
His voice is quite different off the air.
What?
When we speak off the air, we try to keep it limited, but when we do speak off the air, he sounds sort of like Seth Green in his speaking voice. He sounds nothing like what he sounds like on the air. This is all some fictitious character that he has put before the microphone. He talks about being genuine. He talks about being a man of the people. He talks about connecting with the listeners, all with this phony, trumped-up voice.
Ass crack, there it is again. You got to get the hatred out and say trumped. Let me say something, ass crack.
Do it in your real voice, coward.
Are you calling my act counterfeit? Are you calling this a counterfeit act? Buddy, I just told the world that I'm arranging a homosexual on your program. And you think I would do that for reasons of ratings or something like that? This is my real voice.
All right.
This is my real voice.
All right. Wait, listen, we're out of Boomer and the Nudge are coming by for some hot crosstalk.
So I love Boomer.
We got to bring that in a second. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you, sir.
I took my headphones off.
Oh, my God.
Whitman, we were talking about doing some morning zoo, and then we kind of kicked the can down the road. And then at a certain point, we found out Brian Whitman was coming in, and Max Zapata.
Who better?
Said, well, we got to do the morning zoo with Whitman. It makes me laugh.
I love doing that because, you know, when I started the Dumb Voices, right? So I would call radio stations as a kid. And a lot of the show, I mean, I'd like to say I work with great guys, right? But that was the time. It was all FM formats. And if we have to stop talking, tell me and I'll shut up.
No, no.
But guy after guy, I would call, like, literally Miami, Fort Lauderdale, the puppy, and I would talk to that guy. And then I'd call another center, I'd talk to that guy. Then I'd talk to the other guy. And I started to think, whoa, there's a trend here.
Right.
These fellas are the same human.
Right.
Yeah.
Max Pata, I don't have Whitman's
I put
bio
another one
here.
On the top of your console there.
Over there.
All right.
The good news is I could probably answer any of those questions.
Put it where it goes. It'll be easier for me. Whitman, morning answer. And by the way, I think you got to reboot the clock there. Host of the morning answer, which let's do AM 870.
Thank
the answer
you.
In Los Angeles
with
and
my
in Orange County.
Jennifer Horn is my friend. I want to say
yeah,
a co-host.
You guys are great together. Great on the air. And does all the voices, does all the impersonations. I know you do Jay Leno.
Yeah, well, of course. Coming up on the Tonight Show tonight.
We had an incident with Jay Leno the other day where...
Food related.
I was going to bring him some Chick-fil-A, and we came up a little short.
May I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
If you have an arrangement to bring Jay Leno or anyone... Chick-fil-A, and you show up, as I assume you did, how do you get there without the Chick-fil-A for him, if indeed the Chick-fil-A was the reason to go?
Well, it's a good point.
I think it's a fair question.
The reason to go was to air a car documentary in his Tonight Show set movie theater, but while we were coming, we were going to pick up Chick-fil-A. Mm. It seems nearly impossible, but we were able to pull it off.
Sounds to me, and again, I'm just a guest, but the way you describe it, sounds to me like the screening, sort of the goal, the Chick-fil-A bait, if you will, is that maybe... How that went ugly, turned ugly.
I don't know, but we managed to fuck it up. And I think the saddest, the worst moment I've had in recent history is when I was eating my Chick-fil-A burger. Jay had anointed himself the guy. He was Santa Claus. He was going through the sack and handing it out to everybody. And at a certain point, he realized there were no more burgers and no more Chick-fil-A sandwiches and none for him. And
Of course. I'm here for you. Hold the mayo. That's for you. Yeah, there you go. It's spicy.
Spicy it is.
And I'll just sit here and guess I have my own sandwich, ladies and gentlemen.
Of course. There's something wrong here.
Where's my,
Oh, there's certainly been a miscommunication.
Where's my, sandwich?
Oh, hey, Jay, you didn't get a sandwich?
No, it's okay.
Chick-fil-A, I'm looking for the mayo.
Jeez, there must be some sort of confusion or mistake here. Yeah. I definitely ordered one for you and your crew, too.
Yeah, question. I paid the power bill. The screening going okay over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we should definitely watch your screening. I mean, I don't let this affect that at all.
No, don't worry about not bringing me food.
I know the whole, I know it's, things are kind of tough, the whole Gabriel Union thing, and then now no Chick-fil-A. And then
of course, a
bag of Doritos wouldn't have been so bad, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. We have the Rotten Tomatoes game, but you know what? I feel like we should just kick it off till tomorrow. I feel like we should get into some... let me hit Castro.
The talk's too hot.
Talk is too hot.
I love Gina. It's so fun to
be. Oh, I miss you. I love you so much.
Let me hit Castro, and then we'll take a break. We'll do some news. Castro, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castro Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing three times. Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is the Edge. It is Castrol Edge, everybody. All right, quick break. Come right back. Do the news with Brian Whitman, Gina Grad, Ball Brian, right after this. Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.